from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. This month, a new revised map of San Francisco hits the stands. Not the street map or the bus map. It's a map of the city's underground waterways, and it includes an important change to what could be San Francisco's oldest urban legend, as Amy Standen reports.
Going up.
Janet Sowers lowers herself down a ladder into a dark, musty hole in the ground.
Water's welling up from the bottom, from underneath, and there's bubbles coming up through it.
Sowers is a geologist and author of the Creek and Watershed Map of San Francisco. She says she's used to cold, dark places.
That's weird. Where's the trickle sound coming from?
That's Christopher Richard, a curator at the Oakland Museum.
It's from where it's welling up.
Now, neither is someone you'd picture hanging out in a fetish pornography studio. I mention this because this particular stream flows through the basement of kink.com inside the old armory on Mission Street. We stay clear of the actors.
Shooting?
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're making porno over here.
Anyway, what has Sowers and Richard tromping through adult film sets is a lifelong interest in water. Not just any water, but the streams and marshes that are now invisible because they've been filled and paved over, channeled into pipes and sewers under our city streets. You can think of them as water detectives, looking for clues of the city's long-lost aquatic past. And recently, they believe, they solved a mystery that had nagged them for years.
Camp and Albion. Okay. Yeah, so we got a couple more blocks too.
What Richard wants to show me is a bronze plaque in the heart of the Mission District near the Roxy Theater.
Site of the original Mission Dolores Chapel and Dolores Lagoon on June 29th, 1776.
This plaque, you can think of it as San Francisco's Plymouth Rock. This is the place where the modern city began.
The first mission was a log and thatch structure dedicated on October 9th, 1776, when the necessary church documents arrived.
The Spanish settlers had walked north from Monterey up to San Francisco, but what they found was sand. There was nowhere to graze the cattle, so they set up camp on the city's southeast corner on the shores of a lagoon called the Laguna Dolores, where Ohlone Indians fished and paddled canoes. Andy Galvan is an Ohlone and curator at Mission Dolores.
The legacy that began at that moment, that two cultures encountered each other, tried to deal with each other, and today we are a very multicultural city. And that's something to be very proud of.
The problem with this long-told story, as it is recounted on the plaque on Albion Street, says Christopher Richard, is that a lagoon couldn't have existed here. Richard pulls out a topographical map and points to the place we're standing. He says back in the 18th century, we would have been overlooking a creek bed, a canyon.
What just really nobody can explain is how you would have had a 40-foot-deep canyon here.
And above it, a lagoon. How can you have a lagoon on a ridge above a creek?
That would have immediately drained away.
This fact nagged at Richard, so he started looking into it, combing through historical records. He says the story of the lagoon can be traced back to a single paragraph written by the Spanish explorer Juan Bautista de Anza in March 1776.
After continuing to the southeast a league and a half along the coast of Estero, I found a good site for planting crops with irrigation by taking the water from an ojo de agua o fuente.
What's confusing about this passage, says Richard, is that Dienza is actually talking about three separate bodies of water, a creek here in the Mission District, and then two different lakes, one in the Presidio and one in Cow Hollow. But 100 years later, when historians were trying to piece all this together, they got confused. They thought Dienza had described a lake in the Mission District. San Francisco, they said, was founded on the banks of a lake. Generations of mapmakers then followed suit.
It's all just a big misunderstanding, but it has become legend.
Richard's work has ignited a controversy. One local resident who helped get the plaque put up said he was too angry to even be interviewed. He and others spent years researching the lagoon and its history. Now someone's telling them they were wrong. Back on Albion Street, a car pulls into a nearby driveway. Tom Schmidt, a software engineer, gets out. I ask him what he thinks of the plaque.
Honestly, it's the bane of my existence, that sign.
Constant tour groups, noise, and garbage.
I wish they would take it down. I don't like the sign. I'm sorry if that sounds awful. I guess I don't understand these things. It'd be one thing if there were still historical buildings here, but there's just apartment buildings here now.
To Janet Sowers, that is the whole point. We can't see anymore what this city looked like 250 years ago, so you have to use your imagination.
You can stand here and you can imagine without the apartment buildings and imagine it as grassland, imagine it with cattle grazing on it, and imagine being able to look over there and see the mission, you know, that distance without these buildings in the way. And I think a lot of people can do that.
But it helps to have a few clues. Richard says his job is making sure they're good ones.
Our lives are dedicated to figuring out what is from what isn't. That's what a scientist does.
Richard and Sowers would like to see the plaque taken down, or at least revised. That would take an official decision by the State Office of Historic Preservation and would likely be controversial in the neighborhood. The process could take years. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
You can see maps and photos documenting the history of the Laguna Dolores on our website, kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with additional support from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund.